infinite.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Imperfect Lives Radio. I am your co-host, Shereen, back here with the wonderful, beautiful brunette, Rebecca LeConte.
Oh, Sheree, I just love you. Good morning. You know, what a great day it is. And we have a treat for everyone this morning. I am so excited.
We do. We are truly excited. It has been incredible. You know, it has been an incredible time getting to know our guest this morning. She is incredibly beautiful. She is a very wise woman. I think about her heart often, and we connected a few years ago, and we were talking about human trafficking. That is how God connected Felicia and I, and she's been a sweet sister to me since that afternoon that we talked on the phone for the first time. And then we got to connect you with Felicia and, of course, with Anointed Wives Ministry. We are so honored to have her on the show today. Miss
yes.
Felicia, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you. I was like, who is – I'm like, they're talking about an amazing person. She sounds amazing. Who is that woman?
I was like, they're talking about me.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
If we had a soundbite that collapsed, we would still be playing it right now.
Amen. Well, thank you, guys. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I love you guys dearly, even though we never met.
I know, but God's working on that. You know, the great thing about social media is God, you know, there's a lot of, as wives, the three of us minister to wives constantly. And one of the subjects we talk about a lot is dealing with social media and women who are connecting with old boyfriends on Facebook, different things like that, and how we're, you know, God's using us as one of, or three of many tools to stop that, to stand at the front line of that, you know, to help wives understand not to do it. But the good thing about social media is we get to meet incredible women like you. And we get to learn about you and what you're doing and what God has poured into your heart. And I know, Rebecca, I know you're bouncing. Jump right in.
I'm trying so hard not to talk over anybody this morning. I'm listening intently. But, you know, Felicia, I get to meet the most wonderful people because of Sheree. You know, she is out there and she's meeting tons of people, and she always is so kind to introduce me to them. But I have to say, you're one of my favorite ever, because you are bold and dynamic,
yes.
And you really inspire a lot of women. I was looking at the bio you gave us, which is in our show description, if anybody wants to go back and read it as I'm talking about it. And you are reaching almost 9,000 women with Anointed Wives Ministry. That is just astonishing. And I know that you give all the glory to God. I know that you do.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, you're available, and you've been obedient. And it just is such a testimony to me of the power of one woman's obedience and how you can inspire so many to be obedient as well, and to press in and seek God for his blessings in this important area of life, you know, our marriage. And you touch on so much more than marriage as you share with women. We were on your call a few months ago at the end of 2012, and it was just such a great time to talk with some of your core listeners about marriage and listening to God and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. So I just love what you do, and we're so excited to see how God is going to continue to grow what he's been doing thus far with you guys.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. And like you said, I give all the honor, the glory, and the praise to God, because I couldn't do anything without him. So thank you.
Amen. Oh,
you're so welcome. You know, Sheree, I think we should just go ahead and pray.
Yeah,
and
jump right in. Amen.
And jump right in. So if you are able to, close your eyes and lift your hands if you're driving. Ladies, don't do that. Keep your eyes open on the road. And lift your hands before the Lord, and let's just go together in prayer. And like I've been saying lately, I want you to participate. Don't just listen. I want you to press in, because God hears your prayers. And when we agree in prayer together, it is so powerful, because God wants to touch you right where you are today. He's got a word for you today. So let's go together before God's throne. Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we worship you and adore you. We give you glory and honor and praise, because you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and there is none like you in all the earth. Lord, we thank you for Jesus, who paid the price for our sins, who made a way for us to live with you forever. Lord, that we can have relationship with you, and our forever started here on earth, Lord, because we chose to make Jesus the Lord of our lives. And Lord, we thank you for that privilege. As Felicia said, Lord, we know that we can do nothing apart from you. And so, Lord, we just invite you in to this moment today. And we say, have your way in us, mold us and shape us, change us and make us more like Jesus. Show us the things that you would have us to do. Show us the things that you would like us to lay down and not do anymore, whether it's activities or obligations that are good things but not God things. Lord, show us what you would want us to do in our homes, in our marriages, in our families' lives. Lord, toward our neighbors, in our churches, Lord, the things that you are calling us and anointing us to do, Lord, that we would be obedient to you, and through our obedience and our love for you, that we would see more and more of your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. So, Lord, right now we give you the rest of this hour, and we say, have your way. Speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would walk away renewed and refreshed, energized and excited about your plan for our marriage. Lord, we thank you for it, and we believe that we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Oh, well, Felicia, we love Anointed Life Ministry. It is an incredible ministry. Like Rebecca said, on Facebook alone, it is reaching over 9,000 women and growing. Will you share with us this morning how Anointed Life Ministry got started?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was shortly after I got married. We got married in 2006. And after I got married, I would talk to ladies who were married. And the ladies that I talked to about marriage didn't really have anything positive to say about marriage. And so as a result of that, well, like some of the things that ladies would say to me was, I don't like him. I'm trying to get out of this. This is not what I signed up for. We don't even like each other. As soon as the kids grow up, we're going separate ways and things of that sort. And I was like, that's not very encouraging. When I spent time with the Lord in prayer, the Lord was like, well, if you don't like what you're seeing, then start something. And I was like, start what? I've never started anything. So I was like, start what? And he was like, well, start something for wives where it could be encouragement to them. And so I started looking to see, you know, what was available, was there any support, what kind of support systems were available. And then just asking wives, did they know of anything? And the resounding answer was no, I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything specifically for wives. There are a lot of married couples ministries, like at our church.
Right.
We are part of the married couples ministry at our church. But it was nothing specifically for wives. And so I shared it, this concern, with a friend of mine, and she and I just started praying together Thursday mornings at 5 a.m. And as we prayed, then the Lord just revealed to me that you need to start something. And as even as far as the name, I had like three different names. And then when I would share it with the people who were closest to me and we went in prayer, Anointed Wives Ministry was the one that God wanted us to use. And we just, you know, went with the name. I remember when I started the Facebook page and I was the only fan. then there were two of us. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, wow, I have one fan. Wow. Look at all these other people who have like 2,000 fans. I have one. Okay, whatever. And then I just.
And I have two.
Exactly. And so I just continued to just, you know, keep going and not be concerned about the numbers, but just keep
okay.
sharing what the Lord would tell me, you know, and what was on my heart, and just, you know, speaking the truth and just being bold, you know, because a lot of times people didn't want to hear, they still don't necessarily want to hear what I have to say, but I'm like, but this is not what Felicia said, this is what thus said the Lord. The Lord said that you must submit to your husband, not Felicia, because I promise you, I wouldn't have put that in the Bible if I was writing it, but that's why I'm not God. God is
that's
God
true.
And I'm Felicia. And so I just started, you know, sharing stuff, and then more and more people, then telling people. And so, like, our prayer call went from just the two of us every morning to, like, 3 to 5 to 6 to, I think the most that we've had on the call was, like, 66 people at one time.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, it's just God. And at first it was just women in Chicago, but then now, like even last week, it was women from Mississippi, from California, from North Carolina, from South Carolina, because women want something. They want something. Yes, South Carolina. They want something else. They're like, I just need something, you know, some type of encouragement or to know that
right.
I'm not alone in this. And so, and that's how we just, the numbers just started growing and growing and growing and growing. And I'm like, wow. Where are these people coming from? And that's people always ask me, how did you get that many numbers? And I'm like, I don't even know. I'm like, it is the grace of God. It's not me. I'm not doing it. I just do what the Lord tells me to do. And I'm assuming that other people like what I'm putting out there and they're sharing it with other people. So, I mean, we have people in like 25 different countries, you know, like South Africa. My fans of South Africa, I love them because they always like, when are you coming to South Africa? And I'm like, as soon as you send me a ticket, I'm coming. I need two tickets.
That's right, two tickets. You and your
right,
husband, right?
Exactly. I was like, you need two tickets. And we'll be in South Africa. So it's just, like you said, Sheree, that it's amazing to see how, you know, you hear so many people saying that Facebook and, you know, social media is the devil. And I'm like, no, it's
mm-hmm.
not. It's what you
mm-hmm.
use it for that's
right.
evil. It's not evil. It's what we use it for. And I said, we're using it for good. So I just look at it as those 9,000 people would have never been connected to me if I didn't use social media. So, and
right.
I'm leading them back to the Lord. I'm not saying what Felicia said. I'm saying what the word of God is saying. So,
yeah, Felicia, one of the things that all three of us have found, and the ladies that walk with us, you know, in both Anointed Wife Ministry and the Imperfect Wife, in social media is definitely a place for temptation. Anyone can fall to temptation in this area. And I know that in the prayer calls that you see this often.
Say that again, Sheree. I couldn't hear the last part.
I said, I know that through the calls, the prayer calls, that you see this often. You're hearing about wives that have shared, you know, that the temptation is there. Because Facebook connects everyone
oh, yeah.
across the world. So all you have to do is type in your ex-boyfriend's name, and chances are, if he's on Facebook, you'll find him. Or you'll find someone connected to him, which will lead you to the person you're looking for. So it is a place for temptation.
I definitely agree with that, and we had an actual call specifically on temptation, and so what I said to them, and I was just like, you know when your ex boyfriend sent you a friend request, that it's not anything. What do you need to connect for? You know, like, I haven't talked to you in 20 years. What do we
right.
need to talk about? And when you looked me up, you saw that my last name was different. So you knew that I was married. So why are you sending me a friend request? What do we need to discuss? What? So, and some of the ladies are like, well, he just wants to be my friend. And yeah, that's probably not a wise choice, though. Because then your husband is wondering, why is your ex-boyfriend, you know, and it just creates a whole bunch of things that is not, that you could, it could be avoided if you just don't respond to the friend request. Or if you are friends with them, or you were friends with them before you got married, why are you corresponding with an ex? And you know your husband can see it. So it's like, why are you putting yourself in that? Even if it is innocent, but you know that your husband, you know how your husband is. So, and one lady, she would not listen to us. We tried to explain this to her. And her and her husband are separating, and her husband says that he's like, it's because she doesn't get it. She's connected to these people on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and their ex-boyfriends, and I have a problem with that. And I'm like, well, once he expressed that there was a problem with that, then why is this still a problem? Because this is your husband.
Right. One of the things that we've noticed is they don't even have to actually connect with the ex-boyfriend. They can see the ex-boyfriend on Facebook and deal with whether they should connect or not. And even for those who don't connect, we've heard, you know, stories. We've had prayer requests from women who said, I'm struggling. I know he's there, and I'm struggling. And she didn't connect. But she saw his picture. She did, but what she did do was she connected with everyone around him. She connected with his parents. She connected with his siblings because you know, they had a history in high school, so she knows everyone he's connected to. And she was able to find out information about him just through those connections. It really, you know, it really can be, I mean, it is, it can be a bad situation. It can, Facebook can definitely turn into a bad situation really fast. What are some other things that you are hearing on your end with Anointed Wives that women are struggling? As you said in the beginning, God told you that women needed to be encouraged. What is one of the areas, maybe one of the top areas that you think of right, you can think of now, that you're saying a lot? You're saying no to a lot.
I would say that the top three areas that I'm seeing are finances, intimacy, and communication. Those are like the top three things that are just like every day is something in regards to those areas. And I would say, like, just in the last year, since we've been experiencing what the economy has been so bad, several women, their husbands have lost their jobs. And so women are like, you know, he's not working, you know, he's not helping around the house, you know, I work and I come home and I have to cook and I have to clean and he's not helping me, you know, he's not providing, so I'm confused. How can I be a helpmate when he's not doing anything? You know, so that seems to be like an ongoing thing, like how do I keep doing this? I'm tired. I hear a lot of ladies, I'm tired, and just how to balance being a wife, you know, being an employee or being an employer, how to balance all of that. And then my intimacy, you know, he wants me to do all of these things, and then he wants me to be intimate. I'm tired. I don't want to do anything because I'm tired. And maybe if he helped me out in the house, then I'd be more willing to do stuff in the bedroom. And then right. Or like one lady, she did it. She had, it was the funniest thing, but she was so on point. She was like, I wake up in the morning. She said, I buy the bacon. I fry the bacon. I eat the bacon. She said, then I come home. She said, I make dinner, I make kids' lunches, I help with homework, I give them baths, I put them in the bed, and I start over for the next day, and then he wants me to come into the bedroom, get in the tub, smell good, and swing from a chandelier. I can't do it.
She's just tired, and she feels overwhelmed.
Exactly, and that's what I said. I was like, that's a lot. You made me tired listening to you. I'm tired.
But you know, Felicia, you know, and we laugh about it, and you know, it's kind of funny, right?
Mm-hmm. So
you know,
true.
The way she put it. But the truth is, I mean, I think there are very few women in anywhere in the world that don't feel that way sometimes in their life. It's
exactly.
Like, it's just so much. And so, what do you say when a woman comes to you and she says, "It's just so much. How do I do it all?" What's your first line of advice?
Well, my first line is always, what are you doing for you? out of all of the hours in the day, and you helping the hub, you helping the kids, and you helping the dog, and mama, and mother-in-law, and granddaddy, and grandmom, what are you doing for yourself? And a lot of times it's really hard for women when I ask them that question. They're like, I don't do anything for me. I'm like, yeah, you have to include you on the list, and you can't be at the bottom. In order for you to continue to keep helping other people, you have to help yourself. And the example that I often use is when you get on a plane and they tell you about putting the oxygen mask on, you have to put the oxygen mask on you first before you put it on anybody else. And it's the same thing in life that we have to, and I'm not saying, and I know there are some people who take the, you know, the me time too far. Everything is about them. That's not what I'm encouraging. But I'm encouraging to take some time out of the day and just spend 10 minutes, you know, just with yourself. If it's 10 minutes walking, if it's 10 minutes just listening to your favorite song and dancing like you never danced before.
Yeah,
or if it's 10 minutes just, you know, doing absolutely nothing, not even thinking, just practice some deep breathing or something, or going in the store and just look around and, you know, for 10 minutes or something. But I strongly encourage women to do that because you have to pour back into you, you know, what you're giving. You keep giving, giving, and giving. It's like a car. Eventually, it's going to run out of gas. And
right.
And in my job, in working in a psychiatric hospital, in a hospital for the Department of Psychiatry, we see a multitude of women who come in there because I've been doing, and by the time they get to us, they're suicidal, they're homicidal. So I try to encourage women and be preventive that, you know, take care of yourself. You know, do something for you. Make the time. It's not an option, but make the time to do something special for you so that you will feel like, okay, I've done something for me. Now I'm recharged. Now I can continue, and I can give and help everybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Felicia, I want to just underscore for our audience that not only do you do Anointed Wives Ministry, but professionally, you are a licensed clinical professional counselor, and you've been licensed since 2000. So you come at this not only from a spiritual perspective, but God had you go through this professional education, and so he's equipped you on many different levels, which I love how he's tied your whole life together.
Yes, but it took a lot of prayer for that because I've been fasting and praying. I'm like, God, I need this to make sense. This doesn't make sense. I'm doing this. Please make this all make sense. And it's just recently that it has begun to make sense. So, like, I use the Anointed Wives Prayer Call as a platform. So, like, I've had one of our most powerful calls that we had was on suicide. And it was, I had a young lady that I know whose mom died because of suicide, and I had her share. And it was, it created so much conversation on Facebook that I had to shut the feed. I had to delete it because it was just too much. It just got too extreme where people started getting into theology and, you know, if somebody is committing suicide, then they're going to be in hell. And I was like, that is not the purpose of this conversation. The purpose of this conversation was prevention and to educate women. And a lot of wives after that call were like, I didn't realize that I have thought about suicide or my husband has thought about suicide. And so I try to use that, you know, as a platform to educate people as well, because it's not just about, you know, stay married. Yeah, but it's hard to stay married if my husband is depressed and suicidal all the time. How do I stay married to that, you know, and giving them resources that these are some signs and some symptoms. These are some places that you can go to get help, because I think that counseling is a vital part, you know, that a lot of married couples will not go to counseling to save their marriage because they see it as, I don't need to do that. That's a sign of weakness. And so I try to educate them. And because of the relationship with me, I'm like, look, it's okay. It's a good thing. You can benefit from counseling because some of us just need it, you know. And before you get married, I think it's crucial to go to premarital counseling before you say I do. I don't care how long you've known each other, you should go to premarital counseling because you'd just be surprised at what you find out in premarital counseling.
Exactly. And you know, I think that's just such wise counsel. And I think that's one of the things I love about your ministry, Felicia, is that you are not just ministering to women after they're married. You're trying to get the hearts and minds of women before they make that very, very important life decision, maybe the most important decision after salvation that they'll ever make.
Yeah.
And to make that in an educated, informed, Holy Spirit-led manner instead of just going with, well, he's really cute and, you know, he looks good from a distance, you know, that they know what they're getting themselves into and they know what they're committing to in marriage.
Exactly. And to be quite honest with you, though, when I started Anointed Wives Ministry, I was like, specifically, this is for married women only. But the single lady just kept pulling at my heart. Like, every time when I would do stuff or I would have events, they would come to, and they would come to the table and they're like, this is just for married women. And I'm like, yes. And they're like, well, what about us? What about us? We want to be married one day. And you guys, when you get married, you act like a cult. You act like you can't talk to anybody because we're just single. What about us? And I was like, oh, sorry. That wasn't my intention. So that's when I started to. Right. I was like, I didn't look at it that way. But I was like, okay. So then I started to incorporate them in certain activities. And I was like, well, they could be on the prayer call. Because if they desire to be married, they need to hear what some of the concerns that married women have so they can make an informed decision. That's my big thing. I want people, when they get married, to make an informed decision, to not say, I did not know what I was signing up for. Because
nobody
I encourage... Right. I was like, no. Like, some of the ladies, they're so funny. They got engaged. We walked them through the whole process. They got, now they're married, and they're like, I didn't. I'm like, no. You did. Yes, you did.
No, you did.
Well, you did, because I was there.
How did that?
And then they're like, oh, you're right. I'm like, yeah, we're going to hold you accountable, because we told you. We told you that he was a control freak before you got married. So, yeah, you already knew that. Going into this marriage, he was a control freak. So you can't complain about that right now, because you already knew that.
Right. No. Well, and that's one of the things that we were talking about this morning as we were getting ready for this. The three of us on the phone before the music went live, is, you know, we asked you, you know, what is one of the things that you see a lot? And you told us that many women think that being a wife is supposed to be easy.
Easy.
Yeah.
And then you are there to say, you know, who told you that? And we were like, who perpetuated that myth? Who said, hey, who told these women that it's supposed to be easy? But you give them hope, like we do, which is, you know, we have such similar hearts for women. There's hope, even though it's not easy, or it doesn't feel good at the moment. Because what do you tell them? Tell us what you tell them, Alicia.
What I try to tell them is you said it very nicely. It was like, who perpetuated that myth? I used to say, who lied to you? That's a laugh from the pit of hell. They told you that it's going to be easy, because it's not. But what we try to tell them is that, you know, if you went to college and you got a degree, it was hard. You had to endure. You went a lot of nights without sleep. But in the end result was that you received a degree. You know, and when you're working out, it doesn't feel good working out. But then when you see your body in the mirror, you know, that's the end result, is that you have things in place where they're supposed to be. And so it's the same thing with being a wife. It may not appear that way, you know, right now when you're going through the rough times, but just know that it's going to be some rough times, it's going to be some good times. And I try to look at marriage as there are seasons. So you have your winter season where it's like, oh, wow, why am I here? Yes. Yes, Lord, please speak to me, Lord. And then you have your summer, you know, summer is, oh, it's so great. I love my husband. Oh, he's the wonderful. You have the spring and the fall. But you know that you're going to go through these different seasons in your marriage. And if you know that you won't be in the winter forever, see, that's encouraging to look forward to the other season. So, and it's a process. It's not anything that you just, you know, one day you're going to wake up and like, I have the perfect marriage. I don't think that's going to occur.
No, there are times that your marriage feels good. And there are times that when you're connecting with your husband and you're connecting on every level, which I know it doesn't happen all the time, but it does happen. And the older that we get, the more it happens, because the more we realize, you know, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting our husband. We're fighting things.
Right.
And if we can just keep the right perspective, then, you know, and also, Felicia, one of the things that you continually do is you're constantly bringing scripture out as a word, and you're sharing that scripture. I love that Rebecca called you bold because you truly are bold. There are things that you say on the Anointed Wives, and I'm like, man, I wish I could have said that. You know, and I'm cheering you on from my laptop in my office. Go, Felicia, go, Felicia. But it's so true. We need women to stand up and say, you know, marriage rocks. Marriage truly rocks, but it doesn't rock all by itself. It's like you said, it takes work. And it takes understanding, and it takes really putting 1 Corinthians 13 into action, being patient. You know, self-control, people. Can we truly get a hold of self-control? And as we do get older and we become wiser because we've had amazing mentors that have been speaking into our lives and speaking into our marriages, giving us permission to love our husbands despite their faults, you know, then we get to that place where we start to understand each other. We start to, you know, that one flesh truly becomes one flesh in the natural, not just the spiritual. And then we can breathe a little because we learn to trust each other. You know, we learn to walk hand in hand, and we learn that we have each other's best heart. You know, we care for each other. We love each other. You don't go through years of marriage and not develop that. Unless, of course, you fought, you know, fight against the grain, fight against each other the whole time.
Yeah, and I think that the main thing, I think, like you, what you said was crucial, is that I try to remind one that your husband is not the enemy, you know, that you do know who the enemy is, and instead of you guys pointing your guns at each other, you need to be pointing the guns at the enemy, because the enemy is the enemy's job is to kill, steal, and destroy, and you know that, and he does his job, but instead of focusing on the enemy, you're focusing on each other. And then also trying to encourage them that we are a team. We are Team Houston. We're a team, so we are doing this together. And the enemy is the enemy, so we're fighting him. Right. We're taking all that negative energy putting it where it belongs. So just encouraging them. And like a lot of times ladies are like, we're not on the same team. I was like, well, you're supposed to be on that. That's the goal, to be on the same team. And you should have had that goal when you got married, but, you know, we can still attain it if you change our mindset.
Felicia, would you agree that, you know, there's times that we have to lay down ourselves for the things that our husbands want, and vice versa?
Oh, Jesus. Yes. And I think that is a thing that bothers a lot of wives. They don't get that concept. They're like, why? Why do I have to? And I'm like, well, somebody has to. If he's not doing it, you're not doing it. Somebody has to step up to the plate and do it. So why don't you start? Because I'm here with you, and I'm not talking to your husband. I'm talking to you. So why don't we start with you? And why don't you kill yourself? That's how I say it. I'm like, you need to kill yourself, because yourself is just out of control. Yourself is the one that wants to speak up, and, when God is telling you to be quiet. Well, this is just my story, okay? When God tells me to be quiet, sometimes I'm like, but come on, I need to get one more word in. And God is like, no, be quiet, little girl, be quiet. And I'm like, no, one more word. He's like, be quiet, Felicia. And I'm like, okay, all right, kill myself. And so you have to deny yourself, but you have to do that daily, because self wants to tell him that he's doing it the wrong way. Self wants to tell him how to do it. Self wants to, wants to control everything, and especially if you're a control freak, a reformed control freak like myself, then you want things done the way you want it done. But as you deny yourself every day, then you're able to say, okay, it really doesn't matter how the canned goods are put in the cabinet. As long as they're in the cabinet, that's fine. You don't have to be alphabetical or,
Right. So. It's so easy to want, as you're talking, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, and he's reminding me, it's easy for us to try to get others to conform into what we want them to be, when all along we're supposed to be conforming into the image of Christ.
Jesus.
And if we can just do that, and focus on Jesus and allow him to minister to our hearts, as we become an outer reflection of our inward Savior, that is going to become a reflection of our marriage.
Exactly.
And I know for me, this is a button for me, because I went through so much growing up that really challenged who God had designed me to be and challenged who I thought a dad was supposed to be, an earthly father, and so many different things. And so when I came into marriage, I was beyond confused. I didn't trust God, nor did I trust my husband or any male figure, actually, in my life. And that's not good baggage to bring into your marriage, because a marriage that starts that way isn't going, you know, that it's going to be tough, and it was real tough for me. Do you find that with some of the wives and at Anointed Wives?
Yes, yes. I mean, I think we see that often. And I think that something that you said that just, I think that you just said really brought something to my memory, that a lot of women, what I keep hearing a lot of women say is that when they were getting married, that a lot of people just told them, all you need is Jesus. And if you just have Jesus, everything will be okay. And I'm like, yeah, you need Jesus, but then Jesus needs you to do some stuff too. You know, because I'm like, faith without works is dead. So if we just say, all I need is Jesus, but I'm cussing my husband out, I'm not submitting to him. You know, you need Jesus, but Jesus needs you to do something to look like Jesus too, because Jesus' kids look like him. So so I think that, and that's a difficult thing for a lot of ladies. They're like, well, I just had Jesus, so this is supposed to be working. Yeah, but we're looking at you. You're not looking at the reflection of you. When you look in the Word of God, do you look like what he says a wife is supposed to look like when you look in the Word of God? I get so many women who focus on, he's supposed to be doing this, he's supposed to be doing that. And I just, because I'm bold, you know, and I just say, well, what about your job description? Have you looked at the wife's job description? What does that say? And are you meeting those qualifications? And if you're not meeting those qualifications as a single person, don't get married. Stay single. Because it's not going to change. God doesn't change. God's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He did not change his mind about what a wife is supposed to do. And he didn't change his mind about what a husband is supposed to do. So I think that if we just focus on what we're supposed to do, then we will probably be in a better situation. But a lot of ladies don't want to hear that. They want to talk about the husbands and why they're not doing what they're supposed to do.
Right. Hmm. You know, Felicia, I want to take the conversation in a related but somewhat different direction.
Okay.
Last night I was reading some blogs, and one of the topics was submission and how biblical submission can get warped and twisted and misrepresented. And you know, we focus a lot on most of the women that we talk to are women like we've just been talking about, women who just want to stand up and be strong and don't, you know, they don't want to submit and they're fighting. But then we have another group of women who are trying to submit, and they are doing it not necessarily in a godly way, but they're just really being what the world might call a doormat. They're letting, you know, they're just allowing everything. And when you get a woman like that into Anointed Wives ministry, what do you say to them?
Oh, that's a great question. And if you guys recall, when you were on the call in September, that was the month of, that was our submission month. September was submission month, and so we had every call that month was surrounding submission. And the response that I received on Facebook was a positive response, but there were quite a few ladies who said, when you really have to be careful when you post stuff like this, because you have to think about women who are in domestic violence situations. Because are you telling them that they should just lay down and just let their husband beat them and submit? And I was like, when I would post stuff like that, I would say, we are not condoning any domestic violence. This is not applicable, you know, and things of that sort. So what I've said to women who are, and like there's a lot of ladies, the biggest thing I think now has been men, husbands who are cheating on their wives. And it's ongoing. It's like every day I'm getting phone calls, text messages, Facebook messages, Twitter, direct messages on Twitter, because the husbands have cheated. And what the ladies are saying, well, I went to my pastor, and my pastor said, you need to just forgive him because God forgave you. And so I'm like,
I agree with that.
Right. And so and just recently a lady called me, and I had to pull over as I was driving on the expressway, and I prayed with her. And what I told her, I said, honey, I cannot tell you what to do in regards to your marriage, because that's not my place. I said, but you need to get in prayer and see what the Lord says. I said, because I understand what your pastor is, but your pastor is a man. And that's just it. He's just a man. But you need to see what thus said the Lord. I said, because when we speak about adultery, I said, technically, I said, it's not even technically, it's biblical. Biblically, you have the right to leave. I said, but I'm not telling you to leave, because I never tell people that you should leave your situation, because that's between you and God. I said, but you need to pray and ask God for wisdom and discernment. I said, because what you told me is before you met him, he was cheating. When you met him, he was cheating. When you got married, when you met him, he was with somebody else, and he was cheating with you. And then you guys got, were engaged. He was cheating while you were engaged. You got married. He's still cheating. He's a cheater. So
right.
You have to see what, ask the Lord to give you peace of mind in regards to whatever decision you decide to make. I said, because it sounds like right now you're not at peace. And there's a difference between somebody who's made a mistake. This is not a mistake. This is a lifestyle for him.
This is a serious character flaw. This is who he
is.
Right,
these are the character flaws that were there from the beginning. So that's what I try to encourage ladies. And even in ladies, in regards to domestic violence, we had a woman on our call. The first time she asked for prayer, and she was like, I want you to pray because my husband is beating me. She was like, okay. We prayed. The second time she got on the call, she was like, please just pray for me. My husband, he left his wedding rings here, and he's been gone for 4 days, and he was beating me before he left. And I was like, okay, Lord. All right, Lord. And then the third time, I couldn't take it anymore. She was like, can you please pray for me? And I was like, we are going to pray, but we are not going to pray that he stops beating you. We're going to pray that God gives you some wisdom and some discernment, and that you would think about those three young boys under the age of 5 who are watching their dad beat the crap out of you every single day. That's what we're going to pray today. And we prayed, and everybody was like, oh, my God. They was like, Felicia, that was so amazing. And I was like, I was trying, like, okay, can I pray for her? I was like, I can't do this anymore. And so after we prayed, she did send a message and say that she left. She was at a shelter. She ended up finding a job. She put the kids in school, and she just followed up. She's in Florida. I'm in Chicago. She's in Florida. And she just called. I just checked in with her recently, and she was like, Felicia, we are doing so well. And she did end up divorcing him. And she was like, we're doing so well. She was like, that just wasn't a healthy situation for me or my kids. She said, but I thank you for pointing out to me my kids. She said, because I was not thinking about my kids. I was only thinking about myself.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, you're hurting, but the kids are hurting too. So that's what I just try to encourage them, that that is not what God is talking about when he's talking about submission. He's not saying submission is not the same as a doormat. Those are two different things.
Yeah. Wow.
Amen. And, that's, those are extreme situations, Felicia. Those are definitely on the far end of the spectrum, infidelity, serial infidelity and physical abuse. But, even short of that, what do you say to someone who, whose husband is consistently not just, he's just not nice, but I mean, like, he's deliberately maybe emotionally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he never lays a hand on her. He never, but the things he says and the attitude is so horrible. What do you say to that woman?
Well, there have been quite a few ladies, several ladies, who that is their situation. And what I have encouraged them in those times is counseling. And a lot of times they're like, well, he won't go to counseling. I'm like, we're not talking about for him. We're talking about for you. Because there's something is going on emotionally inside of you that you are allowing this and that you don't see anything. And some of them don't even see anything wrong with the way. Like, I'm the one pointing out, like, do you realize how disrespectful he is to you? Do you realize that he calls you out of your name, that you've been saying that he calls you out of your name? Do you realize that he locked the door and left you outside in 30-degree weather with shorts on because you didn't respond quickly enough? Do you realize that this is a form of abuse?
Right.
Then I would encourage them to get some counseling, because I'm like, maybe the counselor can point these things out to you, because you can figure out what is going on inside of you that you think that you deserve this type of treatment. Because that's what some ladies are like, well, this is the only treatment I've ever received. I don't know anything else. It's not bad. He's not hitting me. And I'm like, but he is. And I was like, emotional abuse, and research says that emotional abuse is much worse than physical abuse, because you can heal from the physical abuse, but you can't necessarily heal from the emotional abuse. And so that's what I just encourage them to get some counseling. And then I also encourage them as far as mentors. Like, who are your mentors? Who's speaking over
right.
you? Who are you sharing this stuff with that can encourage you? Somebody that you have a relationship with and can say, sweetie, that's not good. You know, we need to get together. You know, let's the four of us get together, you know, and let's just, you know, have a talk about, you know, what's going on and things of that sort. So those are some of the things. I mean, and I pray with them and I give them some scriptures, you know, like, this is what God says. This is who God says you are. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, but this is not adding up with the way you're being treated at home. So let's really see what God wants for you. God wants the very best for you. This is not the best for you, you know, and I'm not saying that. And people can change, but only God can change them, and they have to have a desire in their heart to want to change. And it's disheartening sometimes, because some of these ladies, their husbands have been treating them that way since they were dating, or they've been together since they were 16 years old, and they don't know any other way. You know, but then some of them, they're like, okay, I didn't know, but now I do know, so I'm going to do things a little bit different now. You know, and then they start, you know, just letting their husbands know, I'm not going to tolerate this. You know, if you're going to continue this way, then I'm not going to be here anymore. And sometimes the men are like, really? You know, I can't do this to you anymore? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And some of them change and some of them leave, but at least, you know, you voiced your opinion and you stood up for yourself. So,
right. Submission, you know, I don't know where I read it years ago. Submission doesn't mean just putting up with everything, but it means
it means
speaking the truth respectfully and being open to a conversation. It's more about attitude of the heart than actions.
Exactly. And I think that even when you talk about submission, everybody, and I'm not saying everybody, but the majority of the stuff that's written out there is always focused on wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. But they never really focus on the scriptures before that, when you're supposed to be submitted to God first and foremost, and then you're supposed to be submitted one to another. So it's like they forget those parts. He's like, so if we're both submitted to God and we're both submitted to each other, it is not that difficult for me to submit to you, because we're both talking to the same deity. So, but it's difficult for a lot of ladies when they're like, he doesn't know God, you know, or he doesn't have a relationship with Christ. You know, he's a Jehovah's Witness and things of that sort. But I'm like, but if we're both serving the same God and we're both submitting to him and we're submitting to one another, then it's easier. I'm not saying that it's easy. It's easier for me to submit to you, because I know that you're submitted to God and you're not going to lead me anywhere, you know, to destruction. And you're not going to leave me in destruction on purpose. That's the thing that I think a lot of women think, like, I'm not following him because he may. And I'm like, well, if you thought he was going to lead into destruction, why did you marry him?
One of the things we see a lot, Felicia, is where wives, you know, they come into this marriage. When you come into a marriage, you say your vows, and we forget our vows so quickly and so easily. You know, we're going to love no matter what, in the good times and in the bad times, in sickness and in health. When we leave our parents, we are to cleave to our husband, which means where they go, we go. You know, where they go, we go. And we do see that. We see that often. We see wives with the imperfect wives where they struggle so much because they do not. They don't feel safe in where their husband is leading them. They, you know, and they have different reasons. And this is one of the first keys that lets Rebecca and I know, okay, this wife, she's got some things that she's got some rejection in her childhood or in, you know, in previous relationships. She has mistrust, you know. And so what Rebecca and I do, we find ourselves doing a lot, is every time we want to talk about submission, because we want women to understand submission is healthy. Submission is a safety net. It's a, you know, it's a barrier, a barrier of love that God has created for the marriage. It's just like the Ten Commandments for our walk with Him. Submission is the same for, I mean, it's not the Ten Commandments. I don't mean it that way, but in my eyes, the way that I'm learning what submission means, it's healthy and when it's done the right way. But unfortunately, every time we try to teach on it and we try to show them, you know, that you do put God first, you always put God first, and then you put your husband, this other stuff overshadows it. And we end up having to address the harder issues and we can never get that to that area of submission where we just want to teach women healthy submission so that they begin to understand there is a difference. Because anytime you think submission, it is always, I'm going to have to do what I don't want to do. You know? And we just want to encourage wives that there's actually, you end up finding joy when you submit to your husband. And when it's a loving relationship, even when you think your husband's off the blocker, so to speak. You know, by trusting God first, and what does God tell us to do? If we go to God first, and the Bible says that we are to obey and submit to God first, what is God asking us to do? You know, we can't wiggle our way out of it, even if we try.
Right, and Lord knows we try. We do try. I've tried it, so but yeah, it just doesn't work. And I think something that that I usually try to tell women is that, you know, you cannot trust him, but trust the God in him. You know, trust that. You know, that when you met him, you trust. You said that God said he was your husband. So trust the God in him, that God would not lead you to destruction. And it, even if you do go, if he leads you into destruction, know that that was not his intention. You know, he made a mistake, and he's human. He's going to make mistakes, and allow him to learn from those mistakes. But, like, as long as, you know, you're not homeless or anything, you know, then it's okay for him to make a mistake. But him and God have to work that out, you know. So I think just allow and stop having those. Sometimes we have unrealistic expectations. Yeah. And I think one of a very powerful call that we had last month was talking about the role that our earthly father plays in our lives. And so depending on your relationship with your earthly father, it affects your relationship with your husband. So if your dad did all these things and you have your dad on this pedestal and you're constantly comparing your husband to your dad, well, my dad does this, and why aren't you doing this? You know, when I left my dad, you're supposed to take care of me. You're supposed to do this. And the husbands are like, oh, my God, I'm not your daddy. Please leave me alone. So, or if you didn't have a dad at all, it's like, it's hard. And that's what a lot of men are saying. They're like, it's really hard for us because women have these unrealistic expectations of us, and we don't know if we can keep up with the expectations.
And that is so true, isn't it, Rebecca?
It really is. You know, men feel that pressure, and they have the same kind of doubts and insecurities that we have. But they keep it very well hidden under that tough, big, strong exterior. And what they really want is, you know, like Cherie says all the time, they want a safe place to land. And they want to know that they're safe with us emotionally so that they can let down that guard and be real and not have to feel like they always have to put on that front of I've got it all together and everything's going to be okay and, you know,
right.
I've got this.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I think that if we could, I love that, Cherie. They want a safe place to land. That's a good one. I wrote that down, so. I'll give you credit for it, though.
Give God credit. I mean, I share it all the time. You tend to share what ministers to you the most profoundly. And that was one of the things that God told me. It spoke to me in two areas. It spoke to me in my own area where I needed a safe place. And because of the things I had gone through growing up, and then it spoke to me about Bill, that he needs a safe place. And then it made me kind of want to throw up because I realized in that moment, I'm not a safe place, you know. So it made me really think about it. And I've worked on that. As Rebecca can testify, I have worked on that a lot. And I'm still working on it. But
we all are.
I genuinely love Bill. I genuinely love his heart and I truly love him. I don't always agree with him, and sometimes he frustrates the pee out of me. But you know, I genuinely love him, and I want to learn how to be that safe place. But Felicia, one of the things we're excited about the show today is you sent Rebecca and I, and I'm kind of changing the subject because we're coming out of time.
Yes.
But you sent Rebecca and I the coolest T-shirt on the face of the earth. I'm just saying.
It's true.
And we sport it proudly.
Yes, we do. And let me tell you, it gets a lot of attention when you wear
it. Yes, it does.
Oh, my goodness. I was not prepared. The first time I wore it,
I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you. And like I think you guys have the I Love My Husband, and the one that the newest one is My Husband Rocks. And that one has been, it's so funny. I was at an event just on Saturday, and the ladies were like, I don't know. He doesn't rock today.
I want one. Because you know what? I want one. I'm going to have to order one now.
Yeah, we have to get one.
You know, I saw Robert's face. I saw Robert's face when I came down the stairs in that. And that was priceless,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Priceless.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
That's what I try to tell people. I try to tell people that, you know, like one lady was like, I love him, but I don't know if I want to broadcast that to the whole world. And I explained to her. I said, this is what this does. I said, this is a way. I said, this is a conversation piece. I said, and as a once the conversation starts, it's an opportunity for you to witness to people. Because most of the time when people see that, they're like, we don't see people wearing stuff like that. What would make you wear a shirt and say you actually love your husband out in public? And then I'm like, I'm glad you asked. And it's an opportunity for me to talk to them about Christ and, you know, our relationship. Because I believe that our marriages are supposed to glorify God. And so by doing that, I'm showing them that, you know, it's because of God, and I'm able to wear the shirt. And I don't really like him today. And I'll just be honest with them sometimes. I'm like, the days when I really don't like him, that's the day I have to wear the T-shirt. I'm like, I love him.
It's a good reminder to yourself.
It is. Something that just crossed my heart is, as you were talking, Felicia, and with what Rebecca said, Holy Spirit said to me, and he said, one of the great things about the T-shirt is he's given it as a tool. And the tool is it's a tool of conviction. And what's happening is the Holy Spirit is convicting the hearts of women. As soon as they look at it and they're like, I don't want to share that. You know, if you'll look deep into your heart and you ask God, Lord, why are you convicting me over this? Then those things that rise up, those are the areas that God wants you to work on in your marriage. You know, I'm always going to go there.
Amen. I like that. That's good.
And you know what, Sheree?
Yes.
They are words of faith. We know that our words have power.
Yes, they do.
So.
There's power in the word that, you know, I actually posted that on the Imperfect Wives yesterday on our fan page, because it is so true. God was speaking to me as I was praying yesterday morning, and the scripture came up, and I was bold, like Felicia, not quite as bold as she is, but I was like, daughters of the King, listen. Too bad I couldn't record it. But I told us that the voice of the Lord carries power to change us, to deliver us, to cleanse us, to heal us from all bitterness and hatred. One single word from the Lord can carry you for life. Believe and receive.
Yeah.
And it is so, so very true. You know, we fight with our words, Felicia. We fight our husbands with our words, and we fight God with our words, because we feel like we can gain the power if we use our words. But God's telling us we don't have to do that. He is our defender.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, he is.
Anyway, today has been incredible. I wish we could keep talking.
I don't want to close.
But we have to. The reason we brought up the T-shirts, one, because we love them, but two, you are so graciously giving one away today. Would you like to share how you're going to do that?
Okay, yes. I will give away, I'll give away my husband rocks T-shirt today. But what you have to do is you have to go to the Anointed Wives face page. You have to like the page and say that Imperfect Wives sent me. And then I'll randomly pick somebody, and I'll let Imperfect Wives know. They'll announce it on their page, and then you just connect with that person. Whoever wins will email me, and I will ship the shirt free of charge to you in the United States. We're going to have to preface that.
States.
I learned. In the United States, I did this one time, and somebody wanted to South Africa. I was like, I didn't think of that. God gave me wisdom this time. In the United States. For America.
Amen.
So just like the page and just say that Imperfect Wives sent you. So, Felicia, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you so much. We look forward to having you back on.
We want to have you back on to have some more conversations related to the issues that wives are facing today, so that you know, God can use us to shine light in those areas and hopefully be able to get some more understanding out. Thank you. If this was your first time listening to Imperfect Lives Radio, we are so glad that you joined us. We pray that you've been inspired, that you've been encouraged, and you've been enlightened in your walk with the Lord. We want to thank Felicia Houston for joining us as well. You can find out more about Felicia by going to Anointed Wife Ministry on Facebook, like her page, so that you have that chance to win one of the T-shirts and get to know Felicia and the women there so that you can be encouraged in your marriage. Until next week, Rebecca and I are so excited you're with us, and we will see you later. Have a great day, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.